Coming up next, I'm going to tell you what the major regrets of the Great Resignation are, and then question for you, could your coworkers who quit be coming back? And then Airbnb for office spaces? Really? And your calls right now. All right, here we go. This is the show where we help you win at work and win at life. Those two cannot be separate, and you live a life of purpose or enjoyment. You just can't do it. So we help you do it. The Ken Coleman Show is here for you. Okay, what are the major regrets of the Great Resignation? All right, let's set this. If you haven't heard this, and we can't assume, I mean, I'm a newsie. I'm a guy that is completely digested multiple news sites before 6:30 a.m. every morning. I get it. I'm a big nerd. Some of you are calling me an old man. That's fine. I can handle your insults. The fact is, I'm more informed than most of you, and that's why I do what I do. I am a man of the people. I am informed. So in some ways, you don't have to be if you listen to this show. So what is the Great Resignation? If you haven't heard of the term, a bunch of economists gave it this title because we saw post-pandemic or, well, middle pandemic, depending on what state you live in, red state or blue state. Oh, boy. Whatever. Somewhere in the pandemic, we saw a bunch of people starting to change jobs. We saw the economy beginning to heat back up. And as a result, people were coming back to work and companies were now competing for all this talent. Wages were going up, right? So all of a sudden, there's this big demand for workers that drives wages higher even more. And now people are going, hey, I'm cashing in, baby. And now we have the Great Resignation. What does that really look like? Well, from August of 2021 through January, I haven't seen the February numbers. I suspect they'll be similar. Through January of 2022, we had over 4 million workers per month leave their jobs. Not fired, not furloughed. I mean, they were like, I'm out, baby. Who's coming with me? I'm taking the goldfish, right? The Jerry Maguire moment. So that's where we stand. And as a result, it's made the workers market for you, the people, it's made it even hotter. All right. But now there's a snapback. I told you. I said on this program, I said, I'm going to tell you something. If you chase the paycheck, it wears off. I've said it over and over and over again. So again, I'm setting context for this. And then we'll give you the data. Here's what I've said, and it remains true. And some of you have never heard me say this. You need to hear this. When we get a promotion that comes with a bigger paycheck, two things happen to us as humans. Number one, the promotion that somebody wants us and offers us a job and says, come live with us. It feels good. My shoulders go back. I feel good. I'm wanted. I'm loved. You know I'm right. Second thing happens is when we see that paycheck, we go, whoa, I felt good about being wanted, but now I am good. This is a good decision. I'm smart. I took a bigger paycheck. Look at me. I can have a better vacation. I can wear better clothes. That's what happens. So it's almost impossible to turn away from that. Think about it. You go, well, this is a no-brainer. I feel good. I look good to friends and family. My bank account looks better. This is a no-brainer. And by the way, I'm saying this not just to warn some of you, but also to let those of you who did that off the hook a little bit. I get it. You're a human. But I warned you that all that wears off. I don't know if it's 6 weeks later or 6 months later, but it wears off. At some point, being wanted and the promotion, all that wears off, and you get used to the paycheck being bigger. It's just who we are as humans. We adapt so stinking quickly. Then what? I'm going to tell you. The boomerang employees are what they're calling them. The majority of U.S. workers who changed jobs during the Great Resignation actually regret quitting and even feel a sense of buyer's remorse. According to a survey done by The Muse, CEO and founder of The Muse, Catherine Minshew has been a guest on this program. 7 out of 10 workers admitted that they were surprised to learn that their new roles or companies were different from what they were led to believe during the interview process. What does that say? I'll tell you in a minute. But that's on you people. 80% of millennials in the same study and Gen Z workers say it's okay to leave a job in 6 months. So there's a lot to unpack here. Let's first start with 72% of workers admitted they were surprised to learn their new roles or companies were different than what they were led to believe. Now, wait a second. How many of you ever really truly believe the car salesman? How many of you, I mean truly, I mean like to your core, you go, that car salesman is not embellishing one thing. Let me give you another one. How many of you completely agree? You believe every waiter or waitress. What do you recommend on the menu? How many of you have ever done that and seen the waiter or the waitress recommend the cheapest thing on the menu? I've never seen it happen. I don't believe the waitress either. I still ask. I don't know why. So wait a second. You're telling me that when you get ready to make one of the biggest decisions in your life, which is changing jobs, that you're just going to believe everything the recruiter or HR person tells you? Now, I am not in any way. Now, everybody relax. I'm not saying these people are lying. I'm saying they're putting their best foot forward. They're trying to convince you to take the job. Come on, folks. That doesn't make liars out of all of us, but it does color the situation. Come on. How many of you go on a first date and go, you know, I'm not very ambitious, and I'm at this point in my life, I don't have a lot of prospects. No. We always put our best foot forward. How many of you go on a date and you don't put on your best-looking outfit or try to look great? Have you seen these kids these days? I had some of my son's high school buddies come over before they went to a homecoming this year, and I literally almost fainted when I ran into what I would call a force field of cologne. Now, these are 16-year-old boys who, left to their own device, live in squalor. But when they go on a date, they'll drown themselves in cologne. This is my point. We all put our best foot forward. It's the human element. So here's my point. You have got to ask really good questions when you are in the interview process. Ask about culture. Ask about the job day to day. What does the measurement look like? And if they don't have good answers, you should go, whoa, and slow your roll. So I'm going to break this down. And is it okay to quit a job within 6 months? I'm going to keep this going. I'm going to answer both those questions. How do you avoid buyer's remorse and become a boomerang employee? And then, is it okay to quit within 6 months? I'll answer both next. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Are you ready to launch into a tech career in the next year? Bethel School of Technology's online technology bootcamp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training and highest chances of post-school employment. Aiden is a recent high school graduate who skipped college to enroll with Bethel Tech. In less than a year, he has a job as a developer with a salary of $65,000. 80% of Bethel Tech students land jobs within 4 months of graduating. Bethel students get jobs, and you can too. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman to get started today. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you. I've got a little tickle in my throat, so I'm going to have a swig of water with the new Ken Coleman Show Yeti tumbler here. How about that? By the way, these are not available for ordering. You can't order these, so don't ask. I don't know why, but we can't. All right. So we opened up the show talking about the major regrets of many, many workers of resigning in the midst of the Great Resignation. They took a bigger paycheck every time, by the way. And they moved on. And now they're going, it's not what we thought it was. So I want to unpack two reactions to the poor decision that you will inevitably face if you do this. Well, what do you do? What do you do if you're sitting there right now listening and watching me and you're going, okay, it's me. And we were talking about the boomerang employee, which is, you know, we're gonna get into this a little bit more coming up. And this is a new term, right? That people are returning. But what do you do if you're in that situation? All right, let's look at the first part. How do we avoid it in the future? Okay, so this is you, and we're going to get to what you do next. But right now we go, okay, we need to learn something from this. And I touched on it very briefly in our last segment. But you need to be asking way more questions. You need to be asking better questions. And then you need to be asking those questions to the right people. All right, let's break that down. Asking more questions. Don't just go sit there like you would sit at a timeshare presentation and let the potential HR or whoever the hiring manager is just sell you the whole time. By the way, that's how people get stuck with those stupid timeshares in the first place. You put yourself in that situation and there's no critical thinking at all, and you sit there and they spend 90 minutes telling you how it's the most brilliant decision in the world and how you're going to be the greatest person of all time to your family and friends if you do this, and you just sit there and you absorb one straight thought the whole time. It's very hard to withstand that. So you are not the witless vacationer who is sitting there being sold on a timeshare. You are somebody of value who can bring great value. So sit there like that. Don't let them sell you. You figure out if you are a good fit there in the interview. Of course, they're going to ask questions. This is a tennis match. Answer their questions. Let them figure out if you're a good fit. But by the way, not only should you just sit there, I mean, should you not sit there and let them sell you, don't you just go in and sell yourself either. If you spend all your time selling yourself, you sold yourself, they're selling them, and neither one of you know if you're a good fit. That's what happens most of the time, right? The hiring manager sells the company, and you sell yourself. So we're sitting there going, well, gee whiz, you guys sure do sound great. Well, gee whiz, you sound great too. And it's like this big, giant love affair. That's how it happens. You need to ask a lot more questions. Second point was you need to ask better questions. What are those better questions? Describe a day. How would you describe a full day in this position? I want to hear a leader describe that. Follow-up question. What are the key results that you want out of this role? Let them answer that. How do you measure that? How is that measurement tied to compensation growth? Oh, baby. Those questions right there are all 99-mile-an-hour fastballs under the chin. If they don't answer them well, you get to figure out why do they not answer them well. Could be because they've never been asked that before, so they stumbled a little bit, but they pulled themselves together. They fouled off a couple pitches, Joe, but then they hit one right down the middle. Great. But if they swing and a miss and they strike out, guess what? It's been nice knowing you. Don't call me. I'll call you. You take the power. That's the type of question, the better question. And then the people you need to be talking to. Listen, don't limit yourself just to that hiring manager or the other people that maybe you interview with in the company. Hey, find some people who know some people who work in that building and get their take for better or for worse. And you're going to have some maturity to filter this. Ideally, you can find some people that have been in this company for a while and enjoy being there. You're going to get real feedback. See what customers say about the company. You can go find customer reviews. Now, again, have some maturity to filter through. But if we got a pattern, we got a pattern. What do their vendors say? What are the media stories on this company? Folks, come on. How about I simplify it to this? If you are a parent and you're listening to me, how would you feel good about a babysitter watching your kids? Same idea. What questions do you need to get answers to feel good about that? If you're not a parent, anybody that you would trust on anything, what are you looking for? What do you need to feel? What do you need to see? That's the approach. Now, let me switch gears. That's how you avoid, by the way, this happening to you again. But let's say you're there and you realize this truly is a dead end. You're not just a little over the honeymoon phase and now you got to dig a little bit and work. No, I'm talking like it's a total non-fit. We get this call, I would say, Alex, quite a bit. Hey, I've been at my job only a couple months. I've been there less than 6 months. I've been there less than a year. Is it going to look bad if I leave? And the answer is, not anymore. 20 years ago? Yeah, probably. 10 years ago? Yeah. 5 years ago? Now? Nah. Now, let me tell you this. If you do that 3 or 4 times in a row, it's going to start to look like you're a flake, because you are. Don't be a snowflake when I tell you that, but you're a flake. You don't know what you're doing and why you're doing it. It's why you've changed jobs so many times. That does look bad, because it is bad. You're not acting like an adult. An adult dives into stuff and figures out what's the cause of all this transiency. And what am I looking for, and how do I find it, and how do I get it? But it is not a stain on your resume and your professional life if you were to change jobs within 6 months. But what I would tell you is you better be moving to something that you know is the right move the next time and in the right place. And then you can overcome that. But I would also caution you, don't burn bridges. Don't burn bridges. Leave well. Leave the way you would want someone to leave you. Okay. Let's get to it here. Two really interesting stories in the news. All right. Why all your coworkers who quit are about to come back as boomerang employees? What is a boomerang employee? This is a former worker who returns to the company after some time away. Boomerang employment is a growing trend thanks to technology that helps people stay in touch, like LinkedIn, Facebook, all the things. Brian Swider is the one saying that this is a trend. Studying this at the University of Florida, management professor focuses on boomerang employees. Why are boomerang employees attractive to companies? Number one, they save companies time by recruiting alumni who are already familiar with the job and the people in the company. Here's another reason. Ex-employees also don't need as much time to onboard. And guess what? It's a lot easier for them to jump in socially. And then the expedited hiring timeline, because you don't have to go through all that decision-making process. Anytime you can expedite the hiring timeline, it saves the company money, right? Because they don't have to spend it all on recruiting. They don't have to lose productivity, which costs, right, with the jobs not filled. And then they don't have to spend all the money training somebody. So that's a no-brainer. And here's the other reason that boomerang may be a good option for you. Employees who are boomerang workers are people who left on good terms. You need to understand the distinction. Maybe they left due to unexpected circumstances. Maybe they had a baby or something like that. Had to leave, take care of family. It wasn't a negative reason for leaving. And so they left well. And so the door, if you will, is always open. That is a boomerang employee. Are you that? Is that a good fit for you? Get your head up. Companies are dying for talent. Maybe it's time to go back home. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and winning in life. I mean, that's what we want. Purpose in work, purpose in life, relational and professional purpose. Folks, this is achievable, and this is where we make our greatest impact. And it's not about fame, It's not about fortune. It's about contribution. This is where true happiness and significance is felt. And I want to help you get there. You should be enjoying Monday through Friday as much as you do your off time. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Paul, who joins us now in Victoria, Texas. Paul, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
Paul, I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
I got a question for you.
Sure.
How old is too old to start another career?
The day that they are all gathering in all black and crying over your casket, that's when it's too late.
Okay.
Sorry to be so morbid in my response. I just don't think it's too late. I think that response, Paul, is also bathed heavily in reality. So you're asking that question, but there's a much more specific, deeper question you should have asked me, which is what? Why don't you hit me with the real specific question behind the one you gave me? Come on.
Do you go ahead and follow a passion at a certain age?
Nah, it's deeper than that. How old are you?
I'm 46.
Oh, my gosh. I thought for a second that you sounded way too young to be asking this question. I thought at first when you presented that you were maybe 76, and you just told me you're 46. Hey, listen, bro, you're a year younger than me. Slow your roll, man. I'm the picture of health. I'm the picture of vibrant energy. I digress.
I guess I'm asking that question because...
Is it too old to pursue what? Why don't you just tell me what you want to pursue?
Personal training.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Are you in good shape or are you a fat slob?
I'm in normal shape. I'm not in excellent shape. But
you got like a dad bod?
Yeah, I'd say that.
All right.
But I used to bodybuild.
Oh,
like 20 years ago.
So 20 years ago, you were like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
So you can get back there, yes or no?
Yes, I can.
All right, then let me ask you this. Once you're there, or even close to there, I don't even think you got to be 20 years ago, but you can't have a dad bod.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, listen, I'm rocking a dad bod. I just own it. I'm not out of shape crazy, but, I'm not going to pull my shirt off right now and start posing, but I'm not in the shape that I need to be in to sell myself as a trainer. But if you get really in good shape and people can tell Paul walks the talk, can you instruct people how to get to their best shape?
Yes, I can. And honestly, I feel I have a niche now that I didn't have 20 years ago.
Which is what?
Which is I could help the person between 30 and 50 get back to the shape they used to be in.
Bro, I'm your desired client. Me.
Yes.
Paul, could you... Let's have some fun here, all right? We only got about a minute. Ready?
Okay.
Could you transform my body in 3 to 4 months? Could I see crazy results if you trained me and I did what you told me to do?
Yes.
All right, then. You're not too old to do this. So what certifications do you need?
My personal training certifications.
All right. Do you know how much that costs and how long that's going to take?
Yes, about... It depends on who you go through. It can cost from $500 to $1,200.
Can you afford that?
Yes.
All right. How long is it going to take you to do it?
Well, I know it'd take me a month to get back in shape.
Okay.
So after a month.
Let's get going.
Okay.
We're done talking. The answer is unequivocally, it is yes, time for you to do this, and no, it is not too late. And Amanda, if you could... Get Paul's email. Have Paul email me some things I need to be doing, and we'll see. Maybe we'll do a before and after for the YouTube audience. I don't know. Don't get your hopes up. Trevor, the YouTube guru, just threw up in his mouth. You think, we could do that? We could do a before and after. I got to get ready for summer vacay. I kid. But hey, it's not too late. Can you do what you desire to do? If the answer is yes, then it's not too late. Don't move. More Ken Coleman Show and push-ups on the desk coming up. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and win at life. And I'm getting mercilessly ribbed by the team in the control room over my before and after potential picks with Paul, the trainer. But, you know, I think there's a deeper subject here, and I'm going to let everybody off the hook. No more talk about my dad bod, okay? So everybody relax a little bit. You can exhale. But there is a deeper core issue that Paul presents that I'm really glad he called. And I think this hits a lot of you. Here's the question in his mind. Is it too late? Now, that's what he presented with. And a lot of us are dealing with that. Can I tell you that it's the wrong question? And listen, I'm not picking on Paul. Because you heard me push him and go, what's the deeper thing? And what I was trying to get Paul to reveal when he said, Ken, am I too old to pursue a career? He didn't even tell me what it was. And I pushed him and I said, what's the specific question? What I wanted him to say was, Ken, I need help figuring out if I have what it takes to be a physical trainer. That's the question behind the question, which, by the way, there's always a question behind the question. There's always a deeper question. So here's what I want to teach on this. Now listen, because there are a lot of people listening and watching who are wrestling with this question. Is it too late? Has my ship sailed? And I don't think that's the right question. I think it's a good question, but it's in the wrong order. So we don't lead with, stay with me on this, we don't lead with, is it too late? Or can I tell you what that question really manifests itself as? Have I blown it? Have I wasted my opportunity? That's how that's presenting in our heads. And it's a valuable question, one that must be answered, but it must be answered in the correct order. And so let me tell you the question that's really below the surface there that you need to address. And that is, do I have what it takes to do what I want to do? That's the question. And let me tell you how you answer it. It's the core philosophy and methodology of the show. You ask yourself then these three questions. Remember, the question behind the question is not... The wrong question is it too late? Have I missed my opportunity? That's the wrong question. The question is, do I have what it takes to do what I want to do? How do we answer that? Three more questions. Do I have the talent to pull it off? In Paul's case, our last caller, did Paul have the talent to be a physical trainer? The answer is yes, he did. He also not only had the talent, because he'd done it himself, but he knew how to instruct others to do it and had done it before. So he had talent and experience. Does Paul have a passion for working out, physical training? The answer is unequivocally he does. He's been a little bit more into the rocky road than he has the weight room for a while, but that's okay. And then finally, does Paul care about the results of someone having physical transformation? And the answer is yes. Talent, passion, mission. Does being a physical trainer allow me to use what I do best, to do work I love, to produce results that matter to me? Ask those questions. And then when the answers come up, yes, 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 guess what? It's not too late. Now, it is possible if it's yes, yes, and yes, and the version of what you want to do does have some financial and age components to it, well, then we change the version of the vision, right? But the vision is still sound. But life and money and time and all that does have a play in it, but it is a version of the vision. In other words, if I have the same small business idea at 40, that I do at 70, well, my version of the vision has to change. And that's how that works. All right. Let's get to our friends at ZipRecruiter, who are just helping millions of people get jobs. Best job site in the country. Liliana G recently went online and said, super thankful for Phil at ZipRecruiter. It made my whole job search easier. I couldn't have done it without Phil. You want Phil in your corner. How do you do it? It's free to you, and it's super effective. You're looking for that great new gig? Let ZipRecruiter work for you. ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com. All right, let's go to Mike in Los Angeles. We're going to get this in quick. Mike, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
Good, brother. I got about 3 minutes. If you can get right to the point, I think I can help.
Sure. I'm in the Embark and Achieve stage, and a week ago, I accepted a position as a marketing director at a pretty large university out here in L.A., moving on from my current position as a marketing specialist within healthcare. So staying vertical, and the overall goal is to be a marketing director for a nonprofit, essentially. And this is a nonprofit in and of itself. Ever since accepting this new position, I have been playing the grass is always greener game, looking at my current situation and how safe it is, and looking at a lot of the unknowns and a lot of the blaring things that I was considering when taking the job offer. And now that I'm stepping into this new position, I'm seeing, oh man, you got to commute. Oh man, it's a 5% increase in terms of pay. Oh man, and all these different big old fear things. And I'm just dealing with essentially buyer's remorse of this new job. So everyone at my current company knows that I'm moving on, and this new company is expecting me as their marketing director. And I've just been dealing with fear and remorse and saying, dude, if you waited, then it could have looked like this. If you had patience, it could have looked like this. And I think I'm letting that overshadow my overall career goal.
Yeah,
and
I think
just
you're
having the
poor
confidence in moving on.
No, you're just scared. You've already revealed to me what's really going on, and it's the unknowns. It's not the 5%. It's not the commute. It's not those other things. Those are excuses. See, what happens is when fear starts to manifest itself, its ugly cousin always shows up, doubt. And doubt is your brain's way of supporting your fear. I've never said it that way before on the show. Never said it that way. It just came to me, but that's what's going on. Doubt gives evidence to fear. So what are the unknowns? Quickly, just give me, what are you truly, you don't know about this gig?
Honestly, I'm going to have to produce content, and it's a secular institution, and some of the content may go against my morals, and they haven't asked me to do that yet, but if that comes, then I'm going to have to do that. Another fear is it going to be able to provide enough for my family? It's more money than I'm making now, but in the long run, we think it's worth the risk.
Where are you moving to?
I'm not moving. I'm commuting.
Okay, so you're still in the California, that same general. Okay. Well, here's the deal. You're a really smart guy, and you said yes to this job. Did you have any of these fears that you're articulating to me when you said yes?
I did.
Okay, so what's changed?
The reality is I'm not being asked to do that in my current role. And now it's taking on this opportunity. It's, oh man, like this may be a reality.
No,
so maybe it's my fault for not thinking it through.
No, that's not true. I don't believe that you didn't think it through. I think what's happened is the moment has gotten closer and you've got some unknowns, which are always attached to new opportunities, and you're freaking out and you need to stop freaking out. The same Mike
Dude,
that
I
said,
am.
I know, bro. And listen, stop. You're a sharp guy. Yeah. You're a very sharp dude who thinks through stuff. Number one, the 5% bump and you're commuting, you're going to be able to take care of your family. Stop saying that. That's a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
I'm going to play your pal right now and go, would you shut up? That's so stupid. You're going to grow. Fear is stupid, not you, Mike.
I've been driving my wife insane, too.
Mike, then listen to your wife if you won't listen to me. You're fine. Take the job, Mike. All right, I got to get out of here. Before I do, you matter. And you do have what it takes. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future. Not so fun fact, America has a $1.6 trillion student loan crisis, and it's out of control. I'm George Camel, host of the Borrowed Future podcast, where we uncover the underbelly of the student loan industry and show you what you can do about it. It'll inspire you to see that it is possible to avoid student loans and graduate college debt-free. Listen to Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts.